Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We're glad you can be with us as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
You know, every now and then, I read something that I want to share with you. A while ago, I shared with you an article that Cardinal Pell from Australia wrote about how he kind of had drifted into a soft universalism, sort of just presuming that God is so merciful that virtually very few, if any, would be lost, and how he kind of woke up to the fact that that's not what Jesus and the apostles teach. And so that was a pretty exciting journey that he made, and I thought it's worthwhile sharing with you because there's a lot of people who have drifted into that soft universalism and need to get out of it. And Cardinal Pell's honest admission, somebody at such a high ranking and such a great reputation that he had drifted into something that was an unbiblical way of looking at things, was pretty significant. Today, I'd like you to read you something by Cardinal Schönbrunn, Father Cardinal Christoph Schönbrunn, just recently retired Archbishop of Vienna, very significant figure in the church for many decades. He's been a personal friend of mine for many years. He's been a friend of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, a friend of my own work, and I visited with him in Vienna and in Rome. He invited me to stay with him in his Episcopal palace in Vienna, and we had meals together, and it was just a wonderful relationship. And for many, many years, he was like a theological hero for me. He was one of the ones who worked with Pope Benedict before he was Pope, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, on the developing the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He supervised the primary writers of the Catechism. He supervised the development of the different sections of the Catechism. And quite honestly, if we didn't have the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we'd really be in much deeper problems than we are. And so I'm very, very grateful to Cardinal Schönbrunn for his personal friendship and for his work on the Catechism. And not only that, when I was appointed as a theological advisor to the Synod on Evangelization, the World Synod on Evangelization in 2012, I was really interested in getting something into the final documents, the final propositions of the Synod that kind of countered this soft universalism that's so prevalent in the church today. I very much wanted to draw people's attention to Section 16 of the Constitution on the Church, where it basically says it is possible for people to be saved without hearing the gospel under certain very pretty stringent conditions, that they're sincerely seeking God, that it's not their fault that they haven't heard the gospel, that they're trying to live according to the light of conscience that God has given them. But then it goes on to say, very often people don't do this. Very often this isn't the case. Even though it's possible, it doesn't happen. Very often people are deceived by the evil one and believe the lies rather than the truth and worship the creature rather than the creator. Therefore, it's urgent that the church carry out its mission of evangelization. So I very much wanted to get this section of the Constitution of the Church into the final propositions of the Synod. And I was in one group, an English-speaking group, that we broke into small groups by language. And I proposed this to my group that we kind of forward this kind of proposal to those who are working on the final synod propositions. Incidentally, I was involved in that process too. Cardinal Wuerl, who was head of the process, invited me to work with him. But anyway, everybody in my group, including a number of cardinals and bishops and theologians, agreed with me to put it into our group's recommendation, except one archbishop in Australia said, no, I don't agree with that interpretation. So I couldn't get it through my own group. So during the synod, I ended up visiting with Cardinal Schönbrunn, And I was telling him how I'd really like to get this section from Section 16 of Constitution of the Church into the final documents, into the final propositions. And he said, well, let me see if I can get it through the German-speaking group. Now, the German-speaking group would have been the least likely group for me to think would agree to forwarding this to the final propositions. You know, I had Cardinal Kasper and Cardinal Lehmann and lots of other very liberal German bishops and cardinals. Well, Cardinal Schönborn, I don't know how he did it. I mean, he certainly has great prestige, got the German group to forward my proposition to the final editing, and it made it. It's one of the final propositions of the Synod on Evangelization from 2012. So I'm very, very grateful on many, many fronts for Cardinal Schönborn. However, as the years went on after the synod, things began to happen in the Archdiocese of Vienna. There was a pastor in a parish who said that there was an active homosexual who was very open about it, who was on the parish council, and maybe he was even the chairman of the parish council. I don't remember exactly. And he felt like the person should step down and unless he was willing to repent and change his life, and somebody in a public position shouldn't be living an openly sinful life. And so he asked the person to step down. The person went to appeal to Cardinal Schönborn, and Cardinal Schönborn supported the act of homosexual rather than the pastor. Now, I don't know all the circumstances, but I'll tell you, it looked like the cardinal was supporting somebody who was openly disagreeing with what Jesus and the apostles teach about marriage and sexuality, and over against the pastor who was trying to defend the faith. But then a number of other things began to happen, really strange exhibits and art exhibits and concerts began to happen in St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna that the cardinal didn't seem to do anything about. And then other people in Austria and in his own diocese began to publish things that were openly contradicting church teaching, and he didn't do anything about it. So it, and then when some of the more disturbing things came out of Rome during the last pontificate, Cardinal Schönborn sort of like agreed with them, which really surprised me because it seemed like he had moved from where he was when he was writing the catechism to a place of doctrinal ambiguity and relativism. So I was concerned. And then I read this article, which is dated February 7th, 2026. It was published in Plow Quarterly, number 46, The Call of Beauty Essays. And it's titled Believing in the Last Judgment. So Cardinal Schönborn writes, Michelangelo's enormous The Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican is undoubtedly one of the most famous paintings in art history. During the two conclaves I was able to attend, the 2005 conclave that elected Pope Benedict XVI and the 2013 conclave that elected Pope Francis, I had time to contemplate it. Christ, the judge of the world, is at the center. Countless visitors to the Vatican Museum stand amazed before this masterpiece every day. Do they believe that it will really be like this one day, heaven and hell? Do I believe, not theoretically, but quite soberly, that one day it will be decided for me too, eternal happiness or eternal damnation? Did Michelangelo himself believe what he depicted? Among those damned to hell, he included cardinals of his time. Was this malice on the part of the artist towards the powerful figures of the church? 1,500 years earlier, someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few people be saved? That's, of course, from Luke 13 that I comment on often. What answer did he expect Jesus to give? Generalities about the relationship between heaven and hell? Augustine, the great teacher of the church, seems to have seriously believed that only a few people will actually be saved, and that consequently, the vast majority will be lost forever. His view hung like a dark cloud over Christianity for a long time. In our day, it seems to have lifted. It has virtually disappeared. Today, the confidence that the Rhinelanders sing about seems to prevail, people in Germany. We will all go to heaven because we are so good. But Jesus' words are not a joke. He does not give a general answer, no statistics about heaven and hell. He addresses everyone personally. Strive with all your might to enter through the narrow gate. His prediction is harsh and painful. Many will not succeed. This leaves all of us, if we entertain the thought at all, with the question, will I succeed? And what must I do to make it through the narrow gate? And then Cardinal Schönmerr makes a striking confession. I must admit that I find it difficult to accept eternal damnation. A lot of people in the church are struggling with this and having a hard time accepting what Jesus is clearly teaching and what the church officially clearly teaches in its catechism. Just recently, Monsignor Charles Pope from New York has written a wonderful book called The Hell There Is, where he addresses every objection to the reality of hell and shows the justice of it, shows the rightness of it, shows that it's actually a sign of God's mercy. I highly recommend that book. So anyway, he makes this startling admission. I must admit that I find it difficult to accept eternal damnation. That's one reason why there's so much silence about the final judgment. So much silence about heaven or hell. And because of so much silence, people are tempted to believe that we no longer think it's real and no longer think that it's going to happen. And then he says, Nevertheless, even though I struggle with this, I take Jesus' clear words about heaven and hell seriously. They're not an invention of Michelangelo. One thought helps me. There are courts on earth. Serious crimes are punished with life imprisonment. My actions have consequences both good and bad. Fraud is punished as is murder with greater or lesser penalties. I think he's saying here that maybe there isn't capital punishment, maybe hell, but maybe there's other kind of punishments that are less than hell. My actions have consequences, both good and bad. Fraud is punished as is murder with greater or lesser penalties. If I believe in eternal life, why should my actions only have consequences in this life? Jesus speaks of a final closing of the door. You read that in Luke 13, where they ask Jesus the question, will many be saved? He says, the door is going to close. Some are going to be in, some are going to be out. There is, Cardinal Schönmerr goes on to say, there is such a thing as too late. Not only when we miss a train, but also if we die without having made amends for what we've done wrong. It can torment us for a long time if someone dies before we have asked them for forgiveness. We have missed our chance forever. Jesus makes it clear that our eternity is decided here and now. If so much depends on us, will only very few be saved? Does it depend on whether we make life heaven or hell for each other here on earth? Once, the disciples asked Jesus in alarm, who then can be saved? Jesus' answer is our only hope. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What a wonderful conclusion to Cardinal Schönmerr's ponderings about the judgment. I'm so happy that he published this. I'm so happy that he's dealing with this issue. I'm so happy that he's acknowledging his struggle with accepting it. And yet I see that he is accepting it. He's really taking seriously the words of Jesus here and pondering on them. And rather than falling into despair or discouragement, he knows the solution for all of us is to cast ourselves upon the mercy of Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus. Now, I must say, though, that there needs to be much more vigorous teaching about the four last things, about heaven and hell and death and judgment. We recite every Sunday in the Creed, he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and this almost total silence on this, and this is not good for the salvation of souls. This is not good at all. we all need to be pondering that we're going to need to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We need to know what God's word says about that judgment. We need to know what's required in order to be saved and enter the kingdom of God. So I've written a book. It's a new book. It's called The Coming Judgment. Will we be ready? We are taking pre-orders for it now at Renewal Ministries. So if you go to renewalministries.net, go to our products or the store or whatever it's called, you'll be able to pre-order a copy of The Coming Judgment. I think it's one of the most important books I've written. I think it really needed to be written, and I hope it does a lot of good, and I hope it helps you, and I hope it helps your friends and family face up to these realities. We may not like the final judgment, but it's going to happen, and we need to be ready. God bless you.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.